The First Testament lesson is from Isaiah. I'm going to read from chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Let us listen to what God is saying to us today. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture. This is part of Luke's, what we call the Christmas story. We're starting in chapter 2, verse 1, going through verse 14. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. And as we listen and get to the second part, reflect back on the passage Bethany read, because you will hear some of that contained in the message to the shepherds. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This shall be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The word of the Lord. Now, chances are this has never happened to you, but it seems to happen to me. You're making a phone call. You're calling maybe a tech helpline to help with one of your electronic gadgets. Or you need to call your service provider for your cable or your phone. Maybe you're trying to make an appointment at a clinic. or you're just trying to order something online. And so you dial up, and then you go through, right, the buttons, press 1, 4, 2, 4, 3, 4, and you finally get to where you want to be, and you get a message like this. Due to high call volumes, your wait time will be longer than normal. But no, we appreciate your business. Then if you're lucky, you maybe get some Muzak that's sort of appealing to listen to, or maybe it's just dead silence. And it goes on and on and on. And Cindy will ask me, are you still on hold? I'll say, no, I'm on ignore. And then, though, you begin to wonder, have they forgotten about me? Have they forgotten that I'm here online? And then you get the dreaded because they've hung up on you. And you know, yes, I have been forgotten. Any of you ever feel forgotten? Actually, I think that being forgotten is one of the most feared things for human beings. Because to be forgotten, to not be remembered, is as if we never really existed, as if we are invisible, as if we don't really matter. And I think from the beginning of human consciousness, from the first moment that one of our ancestors back in the dark recesses of time understood clearly that they had this sense of being, and they knew that one day they would not be, that they didn't want to be forgotten. They wanted to be remembered. And so they made monuments to themselves. They drew pictures on cave walls. They wrote, Kilroy was here. For those of you who are younger, look it up. Kilroy was here. We leave things behind so that we won't feel as if we've been forgotten, not remembered. Because we want to know somehow that we mattered once upon a time. And I raise that because both of our stories this morning have to do with people who believe they've been forgotten. Forgotten not just by friends and family and history, but forgotten by God. The opening passage that Bethany read out of the words of the prophet Isaiah are about the people of the southern kingdom of Judah, which is where Jerusalem is the capital. They believe that they have been forgotten by God. They believe they've been forgotten by God because their northern brothers and sisters in the nation of Israel had been utterly and totally annihilated by the Assyrian Empire. Those that the Assyrians didn't kill, the Assyrians scattered throughout their empire to be lost to history. And now the Assyrians are at the very door of Jerusalem, of the capital. And all these people can think is, has God forgotten us? Has God remembered the promises that God has made to us? Because it sure looks like, no, God doesn't remember us. And then you have the shepherds. I would argue that the shepherds thought that they too had been forgotten. After all, it had been a long time since God's people had been free and independent. They'd lived under the thumb of the Romans and of the Roman oppression, of the Roman taxation, of Roman culture that was seeping its way into their world and slowly draining them of the energy to be God's people. And every time they thought God had remembered them, it ended up not being so. And so in both these stories, God's people are wondering, has God forgotten about us. But then, they are both given a sign. They are given the sign of a child. And in that sign of the child, they not only find hope like we talked about 2 weeks ago, but they rediscover their joy. Now, to understand this, what I mean by rediscovering their joy, let's take a moment and talk about what joy isn't and what joy is. I think sort of in our normal, average, everyday lexicon of the English language, joy is the same thing as happiness, excitement, ecstasy, right? You're joyful. But I would argue it's actually not in the biblical sense. It may be in the way we use it, but if you look at how joy is used in Scripture, it's very different. Happiness, ecstasy, excitement, these are momentary feelings. These are feelings that can go from, say, the feeling of happiness to a feeling of sadness in an instant. You can see something, you can read something, and almost immediately, happiness is gone. Excitement, you can be excited one moment and then depressed the next. You can feel ecstatic one moment and then subdued just a few minutes later. These are emotions that come and go with the waves of what happens in our lives. But joy, on the other hand, is a state of being. Joy, biblically speaking, is a state of existence. It is the state of being that happens when we remember or we realize that God has not forgotten us. That we are not forgotten, but instead we are remembered, we are loved, we are valued. Let me say that again. Joy in the biblical sense is not a fleeting emotion. It is this foundational sense of our being that God has remembered us, God loves us, and God values us. And that's what's at the heart, again, of both of these passages. In each of these texts, the people thought they were forgotten, that God had forgotten them. And then suddenly, there comes the sign of the child. To the people in Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us." And just before that, what we're told is, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You've multiplied the nations," and here it is. "You have increased," notice, didn't give you joy, it has increased its joy. "They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest." These are moments when people remember that God has not forgotten them, that they are loved and valued by God. And the same thing for the shepherds. When the angels come to the shepherds, they say, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. Because you've been remembered that this child is being born in Bethlehem, this one for whom you have waited so many generations." This is the joy of both of these texts, that in these children being born, it's a reminder that God has not forgotten us, that we're remembered, we're loved, we're valued. I realize that in our present moment, sometimes it's hard for us to believe that we're remembered, that we're loved, that we're valued. Even with the coming of the vaccine, as we watch more and more people come down with the virus, I just got an email this morning from another of our members asking for prayers because he has been diagnosed with COVID. We watch our friends, our families. We watch the numbers of people whose lives have been extinguished by this virus. And so we want with the shepherds and the people in Isaiah and Judah to say, God, do you remember us? Have we been forgotten? But my friends, that's why this season of Advent matters. That's why Christmas matters. Because it is the moment when we remember that we have been remembered. That God cared and loved enough about us and valued us enough to become enfleshed in the person of Jesus. To walk with us, to teach us, to heal us, to feed us, to save us. And that the living Christ is still present. He's not gone anywhere. And so what I want to do is I want to challenge you for this week to do this. I'm going to ask you sometime, whether it's when you rise in the morning or before you prepare for bed or maybe the middle of the day, a break from work, take a moment, center yourself, close your eyes, and if you'll do it with me, close your eyes, open your hands, and say, God remembers me. God loves me. God values me. God remembers me. God loves me. God values me. And allow those words to increase your joy so that throughout the rest of this Advent and into the new year, you can feel that joy of God's remembering you live each and every day. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you such thanks that you remember us, that you have not forgotten us, but that we are your loved, beloved, and valued children. Give us the courage to hang on to that and the joy it brings each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.